year to you. Yes, the holiday season seems to be simmering down now, although I will point out we are still in the Christmas season, so I will say to you, Merry Christmas as well. We got officially into 2013. Yep, here we are, and that's a good thing, I suppose. We can hope for the best and see what happens. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am your host, Chris Ricketts, a proud partner of Conservative Nation Radio, and also in alliance with Traditional American Movement. Awesome group of folks doing a lot of good stuff, concerned about the country, the direction we're taking, and we want to do something about it, darn it. So here we are. I am very excited to be back here doing this weekly show, our new time, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have our chat room up on blogtalkradio.com, so log in and post your comments. If you want to be a part of the show, and I really hope you do, please call at 718-305-7176. So there's a lot going on these days, isn't there? We've got cliffs and taxes and more cliffs and fiscal cliffs and everything else. It seems like we're all just going to be cliff diving, so grab a hang glider or something. I don't know. But that's not what I want to talk about tonight. I want to be talking a little bit more about religious freedom, something which may get a little bit on the back burner with all the other headlines going around. But, you know, I think this is still a really important issue that needs to stay at the forefront, because it's something that, you know, is very it's one of the basic building blocks on which this nation was built. The principle that people can come here and practice the religion of their choice without infringement from the government. Oh, that's the big one right there. Without infringement from the government. Yes. Well, someone needs to send that memo to the Obama administration and his Health and Human Services Department, because they seem to have, misconstrued that idea. I'm trying to be charitable here, folks. Just bear with me. So now what I want to talk about is this mandate that came out of the HHS department last year, requiring insurance companies to provide contraception and abortion-inducing drugs for women. And this is going to force institutions to go against their religious beliefs. And I'm talking the Catholic Church here is a big, you know, the Catholic Church teaches against the use of artificial contraception and abortion-inducing drugs. And but now, with this new mandate coming in, they are forced to go against their own religion to curtail the free practice of that religion, and in order to comply with this mandate. And it is a gross overreach of the federal government onto an institution. Now, the Catholic Church, for example, they have schools, hospitals, Catholic charities, and they employ lots of different workers. So we're going to talk about this tonight, and I also want to talk about in a little bit Hobby Lobby, which you may have heard of, and they are a great chain that arts and crafts and all that good stuff, model trains, model airplanes, you name it, they got it, Hobby Lobby. Well, they're a Christian-run organization, and when this mandate came out, that they said, whoa there, hold your horses, this ain't going to fly, because they don't believe in providing for abortion-inducing drugs through their health insurance. Now, let me just say this, that the Catholic Church and any other Christian or institution that is against this isn't trying to outright ban contraception. No, they're just saying, look, it's against our beliefs and we shouldn't be forced to do so. No one's trying to outlaw anything here. And that's what a lot of this whole war on women thing with the campaign came around. Oh, look at these people. They want to take us back to the Stone Age where women are forced to be in the kitchen and have lots of babies. No, no, no. It's nothing like that. Look, the church is going to teach against contraception and its use and all that, but no one's going to try to make it an outlaw. But the church itself should not be forced to violate its beliefs. Now, I did some digging on the USCCB, the United States Council of Catholic Bishops, on their website, and they have a section 12 things everyone should know about the contraceptive mandate. Now, It's a list, and I'll summarize it for you. It pretty much forces coverage of sterilization and abortion-inducing drugs and devices, as well as contraception. It also enforces employers to sponsor and subsidize the coverage of sterilization. And by including all drugs approved by the FDA for use as contraceptives, the mandate includes drugs that can induce abortion. Now, this should be on the radar of every freedom-loving person out there, every patriot, everyone who cares about freedom and liberty and the principles on which this nation was founded, because this is the federal government coming in and saying, you know what, I'm not going to let you follow God. If you want to get to God, you got to get through me. That's pretty much what the federal government is saying right here. It's saying that it can overreach and step into a religious institution and force them to do something that they do not believe. Now, if you disagree with the church's teachings on contraception, or you know, the overall view that abortion-inducing drugs should not be forced, that these institutions should not be forced to provide abortion-inducing drugs, if you disagree that, you know, with that teaching, that's fine. But you should also be worried, because if the government can come in and bully around the Catholic Church and Christianity as a whole, then the federal government can come in and take away your freedom as well. You know, this is about the concept of freedom and why it is important, and the freedom to practice a religion. And if the government feels that they can step in and do this to one set of people, one group of believers, then it can do it to anybody. So also, this mandate does not exempt Catholic charities, schools, universities, or hospitals. Now, these are all part of the mission of the church. They reach out. They help people. Catholic education has been a bedrock in society. There are many, many people who have been to Catholic schools and received excellent educations. Catholic Charities is one of the biggest providers of relief across the nation. They provide shelter for homeless people, food, clothing, some financial resources, all of these things. There are Catholic universities, Catholic hospitals. Now, in order to comply with this mandate, all of them are going to have to violate their beliefs and provide these drugs, or they'll have to shut down. You know, and that's a very serious thought there. All of these people that depend on Catholic institutions for health care, for relief from circumstances that leave someone homeless or in need, all of that would go away. And, you know, the dark side of me wants to think, well, maybe that's what the federal government wants, because if they can't depend on the Catholic Church anymore, where are they going to have to go? Oh, right over to Obamacare and everything else. That's just my dark side speaking. I don't know. Also, the next thing is the mandate forces institutions and others against their conscience to pay for and facilitate things they consider immoral. Again, whether or not you agree with the church's teachings on contraception and abortion-inducing drugs, that's their belief, and the church is free to hold that belief. And the government can't be there to force them to violate it, just as much as it shouldn't be there to force anyone else to violate their beliefs. You see the common thread here? Freedom of religion is vital to our society. And it's made the up until now, the freedom to practice a religion has led to a rich culture in America. But now we see the federal government deciding to stick its nose where it doesn't belong. So the next thing, this mandate is much more sweeping than existing state mandates. In 28 states, employers can generally avoid the contraceptive mandates by self-insuring their prescription drug coverage, dropping that part of their coverage altogether, or opting for regulation under a federal law that preempts state law. Now, the HHS mandate closes off all these avenues of relief. HHS policy of mandating surgical sterilization coverage is reflected in only one state law, Vermont. The HHS also chose as its model the narrowest state-level religious exemption drafted by the ACLU and existing in only three states, New York, California, and Oregon. Now, there's a lot of folks that have joined the Catholic bishops in speaking out against this mandate. Hobby Lobby is one of them. They also heard from the president of the Lutheran Church, the Missouri Synod, a distinguished Orthodox rabbi, and officials and professors from several Protestant institutions of higher learning. It's great to see, even though there may be theological differences between denominations and across the board, we see people coming together saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that, and we're going to fight it. Now, also, what it does is it says that the purpose of this mandate, well, not the purpose, the exemption for it would be if an institution is only catering to those of the same religion. This mandate's very sneaky like that, and it's kind of a backdoor kind of way of pulling the rug out from under someone. Now, Catholic institutions provide services to everybody regardless of their faith, so that means that they're not exempt from this mandate. It's very sneaky, and it's very, very alarming. It's very alarming that they would have the gall to do something like this. Now, I don't know about you, but that should make everybody quite angry and a little nervous. We have Obama now starting his second term, okay? Now, he doesn't have to run for re-election. He doesn't have to please anybody. He can do whatever he wants at this point. And that's very scary because based on this past action, we can only expect that it's going to get worse, that the attacks on religion and religious freedom are going to increase in their severity, and they're going to come at us more often. So, with that lovely thought, what are we supposed to do? The first thing, and it may be a cliche to say this, I say we got to hit the prayers, folks. You know, pick up your rosary, stop by Eucharistic adoration, pick a day of the week where you can fast for a little bit, offering it up for religious freedom. Because the more in tune we are with Christ, the more in tune we are with our own faith, the better able we are to receive the graces and the promptings of the Holy Spirit that He might give us in order to stand up for this. You know, a lot of the bishops have spoken out on this, been very outspoken. Cardinal Dolan, Archbishop Chaput, these are two great folks that have been very vocal against the HHS mandate. And check out and see what your bishop in your diocese has been saying about it, what they're doing. Maybe your pastor at your church needs to know a little bit more. Maybe they haven't been following it. I mean, there have been bishops sending out communications to parishioners in their dioceses, and maybe it's been a little bit, but find out what you can do. Talk to your pastor. Maybe form a group at your church. I was thinking maybe churches could each form their own little maybe action group just for the purpose of supporting the bishop in his efforts for fighting this mandate and getting the word out about why it is unjust and why we can't stand for it. There have been plenty of people have been suing over this thing, and plenty of people are hopping mad over it. But if we all aren't united against it, if we don't show this administration exactly what's going on and exactly what we think about it, nothing's going to change. We're not going to be able to do anything. It'll just seem like a disorganized mess. I've got a break coming up right now, and when I come back, I'm going to start talking about Hobby Lobby and their ordeal in fighting the HHS mandate. Straight ahead.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Mary, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where conservatism is done right.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, part of Conservative Nation Radio, broadcasting live from the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. Still a little bit of snow on the ground. It's getting down to, it's pretty chilly out. And we are talking about the healthcare HHS mandate that forces religious institutions to violate their consciences and provide not only contraception, but abortion-inducing drugs, such as the morning-after pill. Now, if you want to be a guest on the show and you want to share your opinion, I highly encourage you to do so. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. Again, I'd love to hear from you, whether you agree, disagree, or whatever. Just give a call and let's hear what you have to say. So anyway, Hobby Lobby, I mentioned earlier, is a arts and crafts retailer founded by evangelical Christians, and they have some issues with the HHS mandate. They sued, saying that they should not have to violate their own consciences. And I'm looking at an article on Reuters right now, and they sued the Obama administration and last year, in September, actually, about September 10th, and they sued saying that they should not be forced to do that. They were seeking a permanent injunction against the government on behalf of Hobby Lobby and other companies that have religious convictions against abortion. Now, David Green is the founder and chief executive officer of Hobby Lobby Stores Incorporated, and he said, "These abortion-causing drugs go against our faith. We cannot simply abandon our religious beliefs to comply with this mandate." Now, the deadline to comply with the mandate was January 1st, yesterday. Now, the Hobby Lobby is facing a $1.3 million a day penalty. I've seen that reported on several states, $1.3 million a day for not complying with this mandate. Now, I don't know about you, but there aren't a whole lot of companies out there that can afford that kind of money. So we're looking at Hobby Lobby in some serious trouble here. So they have about 13,200 employees in 41 states. It's based in Oklahoma City, where it began in 1972. And they also fund a variety of Christian charities. They close their stores on Sundays, and they play inspirational Christian music in its stores. Sounds enough to drive any liberal crazy, huh? Man, I got to check this place out. If they're playing the Christian music, they close on Sundays, that's very respectable. They're living according to their beliefs, and they're running their business according to their beliefs. There's no one in Washington that should have the power, or think that they do, to tell them to do otherwise. Now, the privately owned company is self-insured. It doesn't object to providing preventive birth control coverage to its employees and only objects to drugs such as the morning after and week after pill that prevent a fertilized human egg from implantation. So that's their beef. They don't want to be forced to provide abortion-inducing drugs. Now, it talks about many 27 other lawsuits pending against the government under the provisions of the healthcare mandate. That's a lot. This thing ticked off a lot of people, and I'm glad for it. But Hobby Lobby definitely faced some backlash. On Fox News, they talk about a Christian-owned chain of hobby shops is facing a bitter backlash after suing the Obama administration over new requirements to provide insured employees with contraceptive and abortion coverage. Now, hold on a minute. Why are people – if someone can explain this to me, I'd appreciate it. Why are they so angry? What is there to be angry about? The federal government, with its bully pulpit, came in through the Health and Human Services Department saying, you will do this regardless of what your faith informs you to do. And Hobby Lobby says, excuse me, no. And now people are angry at Hobby Lobby. See, I think it seems to be this idea that the only way we can have women's rights is if everyone just throws contraception and, you know, the morning after pill at them, because that's the only way for women to be equal. Now, again, I'll say that, did you notice that Hobby Lobby is not advocating to make all these drugs illegal? No. Sure, they have a religious argument against it, but they're not trying to force other people to do anything contrary to their beliefs. Hobby Lobby is saying, this is what we believe, and we're going to stick to it. Now, I don't understand what there is to be so angry about. I really don't. It's just, maybe someone can explain. Call in at 718-305-7176. Let me know what everyone's so angry about. So they're facing this backlash. There's a Facebook page calling for a boycott of Hobby Lobby. And there's on Flickr, I'm boycotting Hobby Lobby. People are going on social media to start this boycott. I don't understand, again, what there is to be so angry about. All they're doing is defending themselves. You know, it's funny when you have these staunch supporters of the separation of church and state, you know, coming in and they, every Christmas, you know, we can't have a town put up a Christmas wreath on a public building because it violates the precious separation of church and state. Well, here we have the state coming in and kicking the church. It's a sucker punch right in the gut. Where are all these champions of the separation of church and state right now? Where are they? I don't hear anything. Do you? It's kind of silent. So all these people are so mad. And they're boycotting. They want to boycott Hobby Lobby. Again, I'm at a loss to understand this. They're not trying to force women not to buy their own contraception. I mean, Hobby Lobby even provides contraception. They just don't want to provide drugs that induce abortions. So again, I'm a little confused as to what there is to be so angry about. I really am. I can't sync with liberal logic here. I just don't click that way. So they face the backlash, and there are all the nasty comments made on the social networking, and probably some vicious tweets and all that stuff. Everyone's an internet warrior these days. You know, you can get on and you can say anything. You can start your own talk show and do anything else. So anyways, they're going to be paying lots of money. It says $1.3 million a day. And who's going to face the consequences of this ultimately are the employees. Because if Hobby Lobby, through their defiance of this mandate, if they're forced to pay this $1.3 million per day, then they're ultimately going to have to shut down a whole bunch of stores and maybe sell the company or seek bankruptcy. Now, how are the workers who work for Hobby Lobby? They need to provide for their families. These are people who are working. They chose to work there. They filled out the application, went in for the interview, and agreed to go along with Hobby Lobby's policies. So these people could end up without a job because the federal government decided to come in and force this institution, force this company to go against its religious beliefs. Again, no one's forcing anyone not to use contraception. If you want to use contraception or, you know, an abortion-inducing drug, you know, you can use your own money. You know, you shouldn't be forcing anyone to pay for your own stuff here. An elective lifestyle choice. That's what it really boils down to. Why should taxpayers be forced to pay for something like this? And that's the basic issue here. You know, everyone always says, I want the government to stay out of my bedroom. You know, stay away. It's my personal business. Oh, but now we can fund everyone's birth control. That's what gets me. Again, I'm at a loss here. I don't understand this logic. They're forcing, the HHS mandate is forcing institutions to provide contraception and abortion-inducing drugs. The federal government, it's, and you know, it might be, under this umbrella of women's health or women's rights and all this stuff, you know, it shows how far we've come from understanding what rights really are. But now we're going to tell religious institutions that they no longer have their own right to practice their beliefs. Hobby Lobby isn't even forcing anyone to be Christian. I bet if we looked in there, I haven't personally looked it up, but I'll bet if we looked at the religious preferences of their employees, I will bet dollars to donuts that not all of them are Christian. Now, does that mean that's fine, and that's good on Hobby Lobby. They're not going to make anyone be a Christian, but they're going to say, this is our business, and this is the way we are going to run it. So paying $1.3 million a day, and it could be putting – the government here is on a track record to destroy more jobs. You know, they're doing their darndest here through tons of spending, regulations, everything else. And now we have the federal government forcing these religious institutions to do this or be fined heavily. Now, if you're a person of faith, you know that this is the moral compass by which you live your life. It's the eyes through which you see the world. And just because the federal government is going to come in and decide for you what you're going to do, what you're going to believe, I mean, who's really going to just give up their beliefs and say, oh, okay, well, the government told me so? No. So truly, it says here on lifenews.com, the ultimate irony is truly religious people will often sacrifice their own well-being rather than violate their faith. I think that's a good way to put it. I'm not going to violate my own beliefs just because a government entity tells me to do so. I'm going to fight it, and I hope you do too. Because it's absolutely ridiculous. This is a very concerning, very alarming move by the government. What's next? What can we do? I'm pretty sure the Catholic Church isn't going to be going along. I mean, the bishops had a very successful Fortnight for Freedom last year. The bishops have really been stepping up and speaking out against this, and I'm glad to see that, because sometimes bishops can get a little wishy-washy on things, but they've been a united front against this, and I'm very proud to see that. A lot of great comments coming from the bishops. Check them out on usccb.com. You can check out there's a whole section devoted to religious freedom. So if anything, I mean, the government might be looking, you know, they're going to be, might be destroying jobs here, but they're also inadvertently uniting Christians, uniting people of different faiths to come together and say, you know what, you can't legislate faith. You can't legislate people to act against their ingrained beliefs. And that's really the crux of the matter right there. The government is not God. Although you look at a lot of these liberals out here, they're trying their darndest to make the government the pseudo God on which we depend for everything. And that's a whole other topic. But, you know, the government cannot usurp the role of God and force anyone to violate their beliefs. Even a Christian organization or a non-Christian organization. Every organization has a set of principles by which it operates. And while we need strong ethics and fair trade and all that good stuff, the government needs to leave them alone and operate according to their business practices and their principles. So anyways, we're coming up on a hard break here. When we come back, more on Hobby Lobby. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am your host, Chris Ricketts. Back in a flash.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive, and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. Proud partner of Conservative Nation Radio, I am your host, Chris Ricketts. Call-in number is 718-305-7176. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your opinions. If you agree, disagree, whatever, give a call and let us know what's going on. So we're talking about Hobby Lobby and the HHS mandate and the government deciding to come in and play God here. So, there was more bad news for Hobby Lobby recently, and this is on lifenews.com. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor, a Obama appointee, may I add, has refused to act favorably on an emergency appeal Hobby Lobby stores filed to stop enforcement of the HHS mandate against it. After a federal court denied a request to temporarily stop enforcement of the abortion pill mandate against the Christian-operated business Hobby Lobby, it took its HHS mandate lawsuit to the Supreme Court. Late yesterday, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor denied its request to block the mandate and the millions of dollars in fines it will be subjected to starting January 1st for not complying. So Sotomayor hid behind the legal trick, my commentary, said Hobby Lobby did not show it met the legal standard for blocking enforcement on an emergency basis, but said the company can continue with its lawsuit in lower court. Well, how gracious of her. Isn't that nice? Well, sorry, but you don't meet the legal standard for blocking enforcement on an emergency basis. But you can go right ahead and continue with the lawsuit in the lower court. Oh, really? I'm touched. That's great. Oh, man. So basically what they were trying to do was, at least while this was still in the courts, Hobby Lobby wanted to temporarily stop the enforcement of this mandate, which took effect January 1st. That's yesterday. And it was denied by Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Again, Obama's championed appointee. So, you know, that's some more bad news for Hobby Lobby. They're disappointed with the ruling. They just asked for a temporary halt to the mandate while their appeal went forward. And now they have to seek relief from the United States Supreme Court. They're going to keep fighting, though, and I'm very glad to see that. This is sad. I mean, we got the Supreme Court stacked up against it now. I mean, after the ruling on Obamacare last year, who knows what they're going to be coming out with next. So I personally don't have much faith in their ability to provide, you know, actual lawful rulings outside of, you know, liberal agendas. So, you know, Hobby Lobby is going to keep going. They seek to honor God by operating the company in a manner consistent with biblical principles. You know, that's very admirable. And that's their choice to run their organization like that. And the government should not be having anything to say about it. So, the ruling, though, also ordered there are a couple of legal challenges to the mandate. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals handed Wheaton College and Belmont at Belmont Abbey College a major victory in their challenges to the HHS mandate. Previously, two lower courts had dismissed their lawsuits as premature because the Obama administration is expected to revise the mandate. But the ruling also ordered the Obama administration to report back every 60 days, starting in mid-February, until the administration makes good on its promise to issue a new rule that protects their religious freedom. So, basically, it's letting the Obama administration run wild. I mean, report back every 60 days or what? Oh, hey, I'm reporting back. Still haven't done anything. So they're giving the Obama administration the rope to just, you know, run all over the place and not have to do anything. Yep, reporting back. Still haven't changed it yet. Oh, yeah, it's 2015. Still haven't changed it yet. The Obama administration was ordered to rewrite the mandate by March 2013. Call me a little bit skeptical here, but I have a lot of doubts that's actually going to happen. So, yep, Hobby Lobby is now looking at their $1.3 million per day fine because they don't want to do that. They don't want to go along with this. Now, it's absolutely appalling. Now, here's a quote from a senior fellow with the Catholic Association. Ashley McGuire says, "Today's shocking decision from the Tenth Circuit is an utter rebuke of religious freedom. Hobby Lobby now faces fines of up to $1.3 million a day if its owners refuse to violate their consciences by paying for and providing abortion-causing drugs for its employees. This is a dereliction of duty on the part of the courts to protect IRS citizens from bureaucratic bullies who care little for the First Amendment." Now, It's very disturbing how, you know, you see the legal maneuvering of the courts and the way these judges just bounce things around without actually having to take a stand. And that's part of the strategy. You know, I'm not going to – I disagree with you and I can't outright tell you. I'm just going to override you. So I'm just going to keep misdirecting you and coming up with legal gimmicks and maneuvers so that nothing gets done, but so you still have to pay these fines. I'm sure there's many out there who would like nothing more than to see Christian organizations like Hobby Lobby just forced out of existence by these laws and by these mandates. Now, there's another quote here, and it's saying that what the Obama administration told the court is pretty shocking, actually, and I'll read this to you. "The administration's arguments in this case are shocking. Here's what they're saying. Once someone starts a, quote, secular business, he categorically loses any right to run that business in accordance with his conscience. The business owner simply leaves her First Amendment rights at home when she goes back to work at the business she built. Kosher butchers around the country must be shocked to find that they now run secular businesses. On this view of the world, even a seller of Bibles is secular. Hobby Lobby's affiliate, Mardell, sells Bibles and other Christian-themed material, but because it makes a profit, the government has now declared it secular." Now, the administration's position here, while astonishing, is actually consistent with its overall view of the place of religion in civil society. After all, this is the administration who argued in the Hosanna Tabor case last year in the Supreme Court that the religion clauses of the First Amendment offered no special protection to a church's right to choose its ministers, a position that the court rejected 9-0. This is the administration which has taken to referring to freedom of worship instead of freedom of religion, suggesting that religious freedom consists in being free to engage in private rituals and prayers, but not carrying your religious convictions into public life. And this is the administration who crafted a religious employer exemption to the HHS mandate so narrow that a Catholic charity does not qualify for conscience protection if it serves non-Catholic poor people. Do you see what's happening here? This is the secular liberal agenda on display for everyone to see. We can't have religion because it tells people to do things that don't go along with political correctness and go along with that agenda. We have a Christian-oriented business which provides arts and crafts to, you know, as their merchandise. And now it's a secular business because it's out in the private sector and it's out in public, you know, as a publicly noticeable organization. I'm not sure if they're publicly traded or not, but that's something to look into. But now they're secular. So now you take that religion stuff and you can do that at home. Sure, no problem. You can go home and say your prayers and do your rituals and cast your spells, whatever you do. But you keep that religion stuff out of my workplace. You got that? That's pretty much what's happening. They're saying, oh, we want to keep religion so far from the public sphere that it's... what's next? Is it going to be illegal to mention the word religion? Is that going to be a dirty word now? Christian. Yeah. No, that's not good. So the Obama administration is in their freedom of worship instead of freedom of religion. That's also important. You notice how they like to twist words around and replace words with other more ambiguous, less defined words? Take freedom of worship. Most people wouldn't even think twice before just spouting out after hearing it from the Obama administration, oh yeah, we got freedom of worship. No. We have freedom of religion. And now the administration is saying that Hobby Lobby, because it's a business, is no longer Christian. You can't run that business according with your conscience. It's now a secular business. So because it's secular, that gives the government the right to do what it, to boss it around and tell it what to do. Do you see how they're twisting that there? It's very devious. It's very devious, and it's scary that they think that they can do that. I mean, you can turn the words around, you can come up with new definitions, but you can't alter reality. It's a Christian business. It's run by Christian people. There are other businesses out there that are run by non-Christian people. That's fine. No one's debating that. Now, this goes on. It says the administration is trying to justify its rigid stance against religious business owners by saying otherwise they would become a law unto themselves and be able to do all sorts of nasty things to their employees, like force them to attend Bible studies or fire them if they denied the divinity of Christ. Nonsense. Hobby Lobby isn't arguing for the right to impose the Greens' religion on employees, nor for the right to fire employees of different religions. There's already a federal law that protects employees from religious discrimination, and that's a very good thing. This case is about something entirely different. It's about stopping the government from coercing religious business owners. The government wants to fine the Greens if they do not violate their own faith by handing out free abortion drugs, and now it's saying they don't even have the right to complain about it in court. Now, again, that's outrageous, and I hope it makes you mad. So mad, why don't you call in 718-305-7176? Now, as I said earlier, Hobby Lobby isn't looking to force everyone to be Christian. As it said there, it's not looking to make everyone go to Bible studies and have worship timeouts in the middle of the workday. It's nothing like that. You know, if a non-religious group of people wants to form their own business and set up their own guidelines, as long as they fall within, you know, lawful business practices, they can have a business around those ideals all they want. This just happens to be a Christian one, and it's under attack, and it's very scary. And this is something that we need to have on the forefront here going as we're beginning this new year. This is something that is not going to go away, and we can't let it go away. So anyways, I'm coming up against a soft break, and more on this when we come back. Hobby Lobby's ordeal, straight ahead.
The culture of death is simply everywhere. Over 1 million abortions annually in America. Immodesty is the new norm, and the legalization of so-called same-sex marriage is right around the corner. What can a faithful Catholic do? St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, proud partner with Conservative Nation Radio. I am your host, Chris Ricketts. And the call-in number is 718-305-7176. I want to hear from you. What is your opinion? What is something that what what is your take on this whole situation? Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you disagree? Again, I want to hear everything. I'm not going to shout someone down just because they disagree with what I'm saying. Please, it makes it more interesting. I love good discussions. So we're talking about Hobby Lobby here, and they are going to defy the Obama HHS mandate. This, again, out of Life News. I really like Life News and Life Site News, by the way. They got great stuff there. So because Sonia Sotomayor decided that, the Hobby Lobby lawsuit was beneath her and, you know, her all supreme position there, they can brawl about it in the lower courts. Just don't bother her. So now they're going to defy the mandate. You know, I got to admire that. That's awesome. That's some good stuff, and we need to support them. You know, check out, go whatever it might be, go buy a bag of pens or something, whatever it is. Just go to Hobby Lobby and have a reverse boycott. How's that? We should all go and get something from there and just to show our support. Now, yep, it says here, Kyle Duncan, an attorney for the pro-life legal group Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, said in a statement that Hobby Lobby doesn't plan to offer its employees insurance that would cover the drug while its lawsuit is pending. That seems reasonable. If you're suing about it, if it's about a new law and it's controversial like this, I mean, they should, while it gets worked out, they shouldn't have to comply with it automatically in this case. It's a religious freedom case. It's a case of personal conscience. Now, the company is going to continue to provide health insurance to all qualified employees to remain true to their faith. It is not their intention as a company to pay for abortion-inducing drugs. It really is sad to me that this is even a big deal. To so many people out there, I know this is a no-brainer. It's all good, hardworking Americans, good Christian Americans that, you know, have health insurance and work hard to put food on the table for their families. And all common sense conservative folks, this is a no-brainer. Well, it's a Christian company, and they're not doing anything illegal. They're not doing anything that is, you know, discriminatory or anything like that. No, they're just trying to follow their own beliefs. And we have the federal government coming in and violating that. That is what this is about. Now, it is by God's grace and provision that Hobby Lobby has endured. And I like what David Green, the founder and CEO, is saying about that. Now, what we're saying about Hobby Lobby, again, they're going to defy it. And I think that's great. You know, I think that I know there are a lot of Catholic bishops out there who have said the same thing. You know, we'll shut down, they're going to shut down the schools and the hospitals and everything before complying with that. And you might say that, oh, that's terrible of them. How can they do that to all those people? You know, and yeah, I don't know. It's not the Catholic Church that's being mean here to people. It's the Catholic Church saying we cannot be in accordance with our faith and continue to provide these services when we're being forced by the federal government to go against our beliefs. So I know there's lots of Catholic bishops out there that are not going to comply. And I hope that there's more and more people out there, you know, and it's tough because if you don't comply, you face these ridiculous fines, and it's going to force people to go out of business. This is a direct assault by the Obama administration. We are at war. Warrior Catholics, we have been attacked. And what are we going to do about it? That's why I say at each parish, I think it might be a good idea to get groups of people together to support the bishop, to support their bishop in this fight, and maybe also in informing fellow parishioners about the HHS mandate and the assaults on religious freedom. But to go a little broader with it, I think it's a good idea too, especially if you're a Catholic and in the Catholic Church, it's a good idea to get a good understanding of why it is the Catholic Church teaches against the use of contraception and abortion-causing drugs. I mean, there are a lot of it's a tough issue, and I understand that there's a lot of people that don't understand it or disagree with it, that are Catholic and struggling with it, I understand it's a tough call. But that is a teaching of the church, and there is a deeper reason behind it. We'll get into that in another show, but when we're creating, if you want to create one of those action groups, it would be good to understand why the church teaches those things and also have a good understanding of what the government is doing in its assault against religious freedom. And I call it an assault because that's what it is. I'm not exaggerating here. I'm not trying to blow things out of proportion. This is exactly what it is. Now, according to CNS News, this is nuts. Now, the Obama administration claims that the First Amendment still allows them to force Christians to violate their religious beliefs. Now, if you're opposed to Obamacare and you're a fan of the First Amendment, which I would hope you are, then this is a big problem. That the Obama administration is distorting things so much that they think that the First Amendment can still allow them to force Christians to go against their own beliefs. It's outrageous. This is something that is a big deal. And I know we just had the whole fiscal cliff thing and an abysmal deal, quote unquote, in Congress, and they passed some, you know, horrible piece of legislation. But this is still a huge deal. The First Amendment, notice it's the first one. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, what part of that is so hard to understand? Seriously, is it something that we need to spell out? Now, it's prohibiting the free exercise of religion, of Hobby Lobby. They're expressing and living their beliefs, and it's very respectable that they've done this by putting God first and building a business. Now, I don't know about you, but since it's the First Amendment, that really makes a strong case as to why it's so important. That it's one of those things that is intrinsic to our nation's being. Religious freedom. The freedom to worship according to your beliefs. I mean, how much more of an awesome thing can we have? And that's what makes America great. But now it's under assault because the religion of secularism, and I'm going to call it a religion, is coming in and is shoving everyone out. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not very, what's the word that liberals like to use? Oh, yeah, tolerant. That's not very tolerant, is it? I mean, that's the new thing. Are you tolerant? Are you going to offend someone with your beliefs? Because if you are, then you should believe something else. Or keep your beliefs away from my beliefs because it offends my beliefs. So we have the religion of secularism coming in and taking over everything. What are you going to do? What am I going to do? I'd love to sit down. I know there's some folks in my church that would be up to, you know, getting a group together to take a look at things. And, you know, this also blends very nicely into the new evangelization called for by Pope John Paul II. A new evangelization of bringing the Christian faith, the gospel, the good news to Catholics and Christian nations that have heard the gospel but not yet fully accepted or understood it. The new evangelization, reaching out and informing people of our faith and why it's important. And on another hand, the Catholic Church isn't trying to institute a theocracy here, as many people will try to claim. No, we The Catholic Church is a staunch supporter of religious freedom. I mean, there's a quote from Mother Teresa saying, if you're, you know, she was out in India, in Calcutta, in the slums. And she was saying, you know, if you're a Muslim, be a good Muslim. If you're a Buddhist, be a good Buddhist. Be good and true to your faith. And that's a wonderful quote. Religious freedom, it's the cornerstone of our society. It's what's allowed us to blend. I mean, America, the mixing pot. Now we have the federal government coming in and trying to change everything. Obama and his cronies, I mean, the arrogance is absolutely appalling that they think that they can just come in and do this. What are we going to do? We cannot in any way comply with this. And I liked what it said in that one article about how, you know, people with religious beliefs would rather go, you know, suffer for themselves, their own well-being, rather than go against the principles of their faith. And, you know, Christianity is it's no stranger to persecution. I mean, which is funny because Obama and his folks think they're so tough. But, hey, the Catholic Church has been around for over 2,000 years. I mean, Obama is going to be barely a blip in any of that. There have been way worse things that have happened in the past. And it's still hung around. So just because you got this HHS mandate, just because you got this thing going on, you know, it doesn't matter. We're going to get through this one way or another. So I urge you, as we close up this first hour, to stay informed about what is going on here. The federal government is not going to stop. We've got 4 more years of Obama, unfortunately. We've got 4 more years of, you know, all of his cronies and his political hack friends coming out with these twisted rulings, these twisted laws, and, you know, aside from spending us into oblivion, our faith and our way of life is going to be under attack. If you're a Christian, you've got a bullseye on your back. If you profess to follow Christ, you've got a bullseye on your back. Every denomination, Baptist, Catholic, everything. So that's what we got going on here. It's going to be a constant assault. And we have to be ready for it. See, we've got a call here.
Hello, Chris. It's Barbara. How are you? Can you hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me, Barbara?
I can hear you. Could you hear me?
We're all set. What's going on?
Well, you know, when you were just talking a little bit ago, I couldn't hear for a couple of minutes because Skype really stinks sometimes. But, you know, I get offended when it's okay for Muslims to grab their Quran and walk around with that and their little prayer rug and pray, and we can't even celebrate. Well, we can celebrate Christmas, but we're not allowed to have nativity sets on our front lawn because others are offended. If a student walks around with a Bible, they'll get in trouble, but it's okay for a Muslim to walk around with their Quran or something like that. This is the stuff that we've got to stop. Because if we're allowing everybody else their freedom, we deserve ours. And you're right, when you read that First Amendment, it's the First Amendment for a reason.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But, you know, Christians are the last bastion of discrimination at this point. You know, it's okay to say things that are offensive to Christians, mainly because Christians won't riot in the streets and set cars on fire. But that's my opinion. You know, and that's a good thing, too. I'm not saying we should do those things. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Everyone's tiptoes around Muslims, and it's okay to, you know, insult the faith of Christians and to do all these things. So, Well, thanks for calling, Barbara. I gotta take a break now, but we'll catch you a little later, okay?
Okie dokie. See you later.
All right. Time to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
Hi, this is Mary, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where conservatism is done right.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host. Call-in number is 718-305-7176. Love to hear from you. Callers definitely makes the show a lot... It brings a good, solid... Well, for one thing, it brings another voice to the air besides mine. I'm sure y'all are getting sick of me by now. But it also... I love to hear other people's opinions, and whether or not you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. Love to hear from you. So again, that's 718-305-7176. Warrior Catholic Show, a proud partner of Conservative Nation Radio, which is, and we're all also a part of the Traditional American Movement. I highly suggest that you check all that out. And we talk about, on the Warrior Catholic Show, we'll talk about politics, talk about religion, pretty much I'll say anything that I find interesting and relevant. Try to at least stay a little bit relevant here. So tonight we've been talking about the HHS mandate and the assault on religious freedom, and I spent a good hour on that. So I want to broaden the scope a little bit here for the next hour. I want to talk about freedom itself and specifically where it comes from and what it really means. And I'm going to try to put the Catholic spin on it, I suppose. So anyways, well, backing up a minute, you can see I mentioned Conservative Nation Radio. That's the Warrior Catholic Show. I recently joined up with them. It's an awesome group of people, a very patriotic, good group of conservatives. That's conservativenationradio.org, and you can hit it up at thetraditionalamericanmovement.com. That's also another the larger group that we're all that's the big umbrella that we're all under. So it's good stuff here. So anyways, I want to talk about freedom. Now, we all hear, well, America is a free country. Well, at least it's supposed to be. And, you know, assaults on freedom. And, well, it's a free country. You know, I can do this. I can do that. So I want to talk about what is freedom and where do we get it from? Now, You talk to people today and you ask, well, what does freedom mean? And I notice there's a common thread, and I guess in a lot of the folks that I encounter, you know, just on the street, or I work at a gas station convenience store. I'm a night shift manager, so, you know, I see all forms of humanity throughout the night. It can be quite interesting, but I think the a common thread of freedom is the basic sense of, well, it's I'm free so I can do whatever I want. That's technically correct, but I think freedom and democracy is based on certain fundamentals. I think it's been rather distorted because I think, and you know, I'm sure the Catholic Church will back me up on this, is freedom of, and even the founders of our nation, freedom comes from God. He is the author and source of freedom. He's the author and source of our humanity, in whose image we are made. It is because we are made in his image, and we are a physical being with a soul. That is where our freedom and our innate dignity come from. Now, when this dignity is violated, it is a severe offense against humanity and against God. When the dignity of the human person is downplayed, ignored, or trampled over, it is an offense against God himself, because we are made in his image. And the founders of our country knew that, because we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Did you notice it starts off with endowed by our Creator? These rights aren't granted by government. These rights aren't granted by a bureaucrat. These rights aren't up to the, you know, the bickering back and forth of bureaucrats and whatever a government wants to say. These rights come directly from God. And it is because they come directly from God, no government should be able to touch them and violate them. No government should be able to do something that violates the principles of freedom. Now, we have you look at history, it's been all over the place where governments try to do this. Totalitarianism, communism, socialism, all these isms that go against what humanity is supposed to be about, that deny or try to get in the way of the rights given to us by God. Now, freedom is a sense that, well, I'll just quote John Paul II. Freedom isn't about the ability, I'll paraphrase them, I don't have it directly in front of me, sorry. Freedom isn't about doing what we want, not having the right to do whatever we want, but having the right to do what we ought. There's a difference. If I do whatever I want, I eat way too much fried food and gain 300 pounds. It might taste good, but then I'd eventually die of a heart attack a lot younger than I should. You know, so that's just one little thing. When it comes to freedom, it is a responsibility. Freedom is a burden, in a sense. Only in a sense that we have to make an informed choice to exercise that freedom properly. Because when freedom is not exercised properly, then it infringes on someone else and their God-given human dignity. I'm not talking about the infringement that people like to say, well, you're entitled to your beliefs as long as it doesn't infringe on mine. I'm not talking about that shallow definition. You know, I'm not talking about, well, I can do whatever I want because it's a free country. That's a rather adolescent view of freedom. Freedom and the exercising of it is a responsibility, and it comes from an informed conscience. It comes from an understanding of what is good and what is evil. It comes from self-discipline. It comes from knowing the choices that are good for us and also good for society. Too many times freedom and the exercise thereof is reduced to an individual pursuing whatever self-destructive behavior that they want to pursue, and without nary a thought to what is good for society and what is good for the larger community. Yes, individuals are important because they make up society, but individuals also have a responsibility to that society and the good of that society. And, you know, the Catholic Church doesn't step in and tell every government how it should run its fiscal plan or how it should, you know, all the laws it should enact. The Catholic Church teaches the innate dignity of the human being. And John Paul II was very big on that. That was one of the central themes of his papacy. And I'm very, very, I admire him greatly for it. He was very instrumental in fighting back communism in his own country, Poland. He was very instrumental in fighting, championing human beings in all circumstances. He was a huge figure for the recognition of the dignity of the human person. Freedom stems from God, and it is given to us by Him. And so, like any gift from God, there's a responsibility, and when exercised properly, we can enjoy a true freedom. But in the narrow definition of freedom that we have today, it turns into something where we only see ourselves, because when you divorce the source of freedom from the concept of freedom, then we end up with a narcissistic, self-seeking society that can only think, where we can only think of ourselves. If all I care about is me, and I can do whatever I want because it's a free society, then I'm not helping anybody else, and I eventually hurt myself and sometimes other people through my actions, inadvertently a lot of times. Because freedom, when it's taken away from God, is not freedom. It turns into slavery. Maybe a bit strong of a word, I know, but that's what it is. It turns into a slavery, where I become enslaved to my own passions and pursuits. I become addicted to whatever it is, you know, whatever it is, entertainment, food, all these things that we can use to, I don't know, self-medicate ourselves so we can pursue whatever. But true freedom lies in self-sacrifice, self-discipline, and serving others. I can't tell you, you know, and this has been a hard lesson I've had to learn over the years, service to others. I've had my selfish years and times, but I always have a deeper sense of inner peace when I am serving others and thinking about others and giving from myself to others. And that is true. That is the basis of freedom. It's not about serving me. It's about serving you. How can I give of myself? Even when I'm in need, even when I'm struggling to put food on the table, how can I serve you? And it's amazing, because the more you give, the more you get. It's just one of those little paradoxes. There's plenty of them in a deeper sense of spirituality, it seems like. So that's the basis of freedom. I'm coming up on a soft break here, but when we get back, I want to keep exploring this theme a little bit of freedom. It's been on my mind a lot lately. So when we get back, more on freedom.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going
to
want to take a
left. You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Broke up,
and go past
and
the first three lights,
happy about
and then take
it.
The next left.
I don't really
then
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And once again, we are back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, proud partner of Conservative Nation Radio and the Traditional American Movement. And the call-in number is 718-305-7176. I want to hear from you. What do you think about freedom? What do you think about the religious ties to freedom? Where do you think the source of freedom is? All of these things, I want to hear your opinion. Please give a call, 718-305-7176. So anyways, I've been kind of exploring the theme of freedom in this next hour, and I think it's really important because in a deeper sense, and I see it in sometimes in both political aisles, we've become disconnected with the true sense of freedom and what it really means. Now, when you have this disconnected sense of freedom, disconnected, and I mean disconnected from God as the source, when freedom becomes merely the ability to do whatever I see fit to please myself or to pursue my own interests, that is another pillar of societal breakdown. And if I am merely pursuing my own interests, then I'm not going to be self-disciplined, and I'm not going to try to get a deeper sense of cultural history and identity. I'm not going to be looking into the pillars of American principles. I'm not going to be trying to stay informed on difficult issues. I'm only going to be doing what I want to do. You know? Now, it comes to mind that when you have a group, when this permeates throughout the culture, and you have a democratic society where everyone has turned freedom in upside down and inside out on top of its head, these are the people that are now going to be casting their votes in elections. These are the people that are going to be without any information, without any sense of deeper belonging and understanding, without any sense of service and national unity, or without a sense of national greatness. These are the people that are casting their votes in elections. Are you scared yet? Well, we can see the results of what happens partly because of that. He's in the White House right now. Barack Obama is our president again. He ran on a false war on women and on a bunch of handouts. Freebies. I'm going to give you stuff. All you got to do is vote for me. And everyone says, yeah, dude, I like free stuff. I'll vote for him. I mean, how many people out there voted for Obama that have absolutely no idea what he stands for, what his policies are, or what his background is? But they just think he's cool. He's cool, man. I'm going to vote for Obama. And it's because there isn't a sense of freedom. Because with freedom comes a sense of responsibility, with true freedom. When it's seen as that gift from God, when it's seen as something that is our responsibility to uphold, government's role in freedom is not to provide it, but to protect it. The government is not the source. The government isn't the one that deems us the ability to go do something. The government protects freedom, and it protects the good of society. Now, there are all kinds – I mean, we need laws. We need to be a society of common sense laws. Some of them are based on moral principles, and some aren't. You know, everyone is going to agree that – killing someone, committing murder, is morally wrong. It's morally evil. Thou shalt not kill is one of the Ten Commandments. So the government's forcing morality, and I'll use their own words against them, it's forcing morality by Christian morality when it has a law against murder. Now, there's also the kind of laws that just promote civil order. I mean, it's illegal to drive on the left side of the road in the United States. I mean, you could argue that's infringing on your freedom to drive on the left-hand side if you want to. Well, sure you can if you want to. You'll just get in a head-on collision and probably kill yourself and the other person in the car. So, in good sense, the government says, okay, we want people to be able to travel. We want people to be able to commute to work. And we need people to do it so there's not a whole bunch of injuries and wrecks. So we say, all right, everyone's going to drive on the right side of the road. That's not infringing on liberty and freedom. That's just common sense. It's promoting civil order. Then there's laws like the HHS mandate, where the government decides to be God and force a religious institution to go against its own beliefs. That's not freedom. That is totalitarianism. That is the government overstepping its bounds. True freedom is when you lose your sense of self and commit yourself to the service of yourself, of others and country. That's freedom. When the government is there to protect its citizens and their freedom and does not infringe on it. That's the proper role of government. Small. Not this overreaching bureaucracy that spends all of our money for generations to come, bribing its own citizens who decide they want that or think they do in their own ignorance. When you have people that care nothing for themselves, we have this whole this nihilism, this sense that nothing really matters, I just am going to go do what I want to do. We lose our sense, our national identity. We lose our ability to hold elections where the common good is upheld. The common good, this election, would have been tossing Obama out of the White House. He's already done a whole ton of damage, and now we've got 4 more years of it because people wanted to vote for free stuff. People could only see the moment. They could only see what they wanted. Free stuff. At least free to them, maybe. Except their taxes are going up now, too. I'm sure Republicans will get blamed for that, too. But anyway, I digress. So freedom. This sense of a responsibility to our families and our communities and our nation. It's not something to be taken lightly, and it is not a license to do whatever we want to do. I might want to go out and, start a brawl somewhere. Well, that's what I want to do. There's laws against that. It's called assault. Well, isn't that infringing on my rights? I mean, you could take it. Once you start that ball rolling, you can say anything and is infringing on someone's right to do whatever they want. You could say anything is. I mean, seriously, the common argument, why should you force your beliefs on someone else? Because there's an absolute good and an absolute evil. There's no such thing as your good and my good. There is the good. And whether or not you or I choose to accept it and live by it. That's what it really is. So, when you have this common good, we can either live by it and live freely. But if in choosing we don't live by it, then we suffer the consequences. And that's, take slavery, for example. It was abolished in the United States, as it should have been. Great. You know, we've had a lot of it's taken us a while to the civil, you know, to bring true equality for everybody in our country. The civil rights movement was a big part of that. Absolutely. That's great stuff. The fact that we've realized that now we've established that, of course, everyone is equal. Not equal in outcome and equal in quantity, but intrinsically equal because God is our Father. So you have slavery. Well, what if you encounter someone who believes in slavery, that thinks it should still be around? How would you justify that slavery is wrong to someone if you don't have a sense of what is ultimately good? I mean, you could, well, it's not good. Well, what's the source of your good? Oh, it's just wrong to do that. How, according to what? It's his belief that slavery is right. Who are you to infringe upon his right to believe that slavery is okay? If he wants to have slaves, you should let him, right? Because it would be infringing upon his right to do so. You see where I'm going here? Now, okay, just in case anyone out there wants to twist my words, I'm not saying that slavery is okay. I'm using it as an example. I know there's lots of literalists out there who love to twist the words of a radio show that has something to do with Conservative Nation Radio. But anyway, so when you take out the source of what is good and what is free, it's all up for grabs. Then we got nothing. Without God as the source of our freedom, as the source of good, then anything, it becomes a free-for-all. It's like this slow descent towards anarchy. Or some kind of, you know, thug-like government that forces everyone to do what is deemed good. When you take God out of it, it's the government that turns into the replacement God, that institution, that organization that is the one that doles out everyone's fair share or something like that. So freedom is this responsibility to uphold our human dignity. Without that recognition of that dignity should be at the forefront of all of our laws, everything that we do. Because when we don't recognize that each person is created in the image of likeness of God, that each person is unique and valuable, then we can't have a just society. We can't have laws that are fair and just and promote true, true freedom. Not doing what we want, but doing what we ought. I want to do lots of things that, you know, I'm a sinner. I'm a fallen human being. So sometimes my desires and my thoughts don't align with, you know, God's will and everything. But I have to pray and I have to keep myself in check. Because if I don't keep myself in check, then I turn into an animal, not a human. And we are called to more. We are called to commune with God. We are called to live in a higher plane because he raised us up. He brought us out of sin. He conquered death through Jesus Christ. And without that sense of freedom, without that sense of Jesus being the source, God being the source of our freedom, I'm afraid we can't do much from there. I am coming up on another break. So when we get back, I want to keep talking about this. And so, again, I want to hear from you, too. Call in over the break, too, if you want. 718-305-7176. More about freedom and this discussion I'm having with myself, unfortunately. I'd love to hear from you. More right after this.
Together, you and I shocked the world. Not only did we win Iowa and 10 other states, we framed the Republican message, and we showed that conservative values are alive and well all across America. And what do I call winning 11 states? Well, just the beginning. Because by staying together, you and I can amplify our voices and change America. And the top of that list, of course, is defeating Barack Obama. To accomplish all this, I'm starting a brand new organization, Patriot Voices. Once again, I'm calling on you and 1 million other patriots to join me and guarantee that our voices be heard. Our mission is clear. Fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. To accomplish this, we'll mobilize our grassroots troops to help elect candidates that share our values and hold elected officials accountable for their actions all across this country. And like the founding fathers of our country, we're ready to take on the establishment or anyone else who opposes those bedrock American principles. Are you ready to join the fight to protect the sanctity of life? Protect traditional marriage? Return to the principles of our Constitution? Restore fiscal sanity in Washington and across this country? And make America an economic and manufacturing superpower again? Then it's time you become a member of Patriot Voices. And joining couldn't be simpler. Just go to patriotvoices.com and you can instantly become a founding member of our organization. You and I weren't there for the American Revolution. We didn't write the Constitution or sign the Declaration of Independence. But let's make no mistake about it. The fight to protect faith, family, freedom, and ensure opportunity for all in America is just as critical today as it was back then. Our time in history is right now. And I hope that you'll choose to join me in this critical fight by joining Patriot Voices today. Patriot Voices, your voice multiplied by a million.
Hi, this is Mary, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where conservatism is done right.
And we're back here on the Warrior Catholic Show. I am Chris Ricketts, your host, and a proud partner with Conservative Nation Radio. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. Just in case you were wondering, have you ever thought about what might happen if a former Navy SEAL had his own show? Well, tune in next Thursday, January 10th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can find out. So anyways, we are talking about freedom and where it comes from and why it's so important and how it's gotten a bit distorted in America as of late. And I've seen that across both sides of the aisle, the sense that freedom is merely a license to do whatever we want as opposed to what we ought and what is right and good. Now, when you get to democracy and freedom, you know, I was mentioning earlier that without the proper understanding of freedom, that puts a democracy in a serious trouble. That comes up, it leads to all kinds of problems. That's when you have uninformed people electing politicians who bribe them with their own money, and you end up with people electing the most celebrity-like politician they can see. So, and case in point, Barack Hussein Obama. There he is, sitting up there. He bribed everyone. He likes to promise all these things. He's absolutely narcissistic, and he is here for another 4 years because of the, I think it has to do with a misunderstanding of what freedom is and where it comes from. Coming from God, not from self. Because when you take away God from freedom, it leaves for an ugly recipe. Now, an informed electorate is the basis, you know, and how are we going to get that, an informed electorate? I mean, liberals have taken over colleges, high schools, middle schools, grade schools. I mean, they've pretty much successfully infiltrated schools as of today. Now, my wife and I homeschool. Actually, I'm going to say my wife does. I'm usually, you know, I get done with work usually at 7 in the morning, and I got to go to bed. So my wife is the brave soul that homeschools the kids. And You know, we don't want to send our kids to a public school. I mean, the ones around here aren't that good. And I'm not going to say there aren't any good, you know, at least decent public schools out there. I know there's some great teachers, but unfortunately, there's a whole lot more of, you know, teachers in schools that are under the propaganda, you know, umbrella. They are under the promoting that agenda of the liberals, and they completely distort freedom and what America is and who we are. So that's why we homeschool. We want to instill solid Catholic American values into our children. And I got to hand it to you. My wife is a wonderful teacher. She works well with them. My kids do pretty well, and we keep them involved in other things, and they've got plenty of friends. So we're not like one of those, you know, this awful stereotype of homeschool people where their kids are all kind of strange and unable to interact with anybody. You know, there's a lot of people in my neck of the woods here in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. There's a large homeschooling community, and it's very awesome. I love the way it works. But, you know, this uninformed electorate that goes out and votes based on whims and based on its own, you know, I guess, desires, that's a big problem. It is how we end up with presidents like Barack Obama, because people get who are just, you know, either on the public dole and are bought out already or are promised new things. And so they get more people get bought out. And so they vote. I mean, who's going to vote against the hand that's feeding you? Now, just so you know, I have nothing against. I'm not saying that we should get rid of all the quote-unquote safety net and all that stuff. You know, I understand that it has a place, and I definitely think it needs to be modified at this point. It's gotten way out of hand where, you know, the federal government was advertising food stamps. It's like, hey, you need nutrition? Come here. We'll get you get your food stamps, and we'll give you money, and you go do whatever. Now, let me tell you. A lot of times, and a lot of folks I know will use their monthly food stamp allowance, their electronic benefits transfer, or EBT is what it's more commonly called, I guess, their EBT payments to actually buy food. But, you know, the place where I work, we are not just a gas station, but we're a convenience store. We make food, and we make subs and hot and cold lattes and mochas and fried mozzarella sticks. We got everything. So, but we also take food stamps there. And let me tell you, nothing boils my blood more than when I see someone come in who goes and they buy a pile of candy, they get a whole bunch of subs, and you can also buy frozen or iced mochas and lattes with your food stamps too. So they'll come in and get a couple of those and pile it all up there, spend $50 or, you know, $30-$50 on all this with their food stamps. And then pull out a wad of cash to buy their beer and cigarettes. This is not my idea of, you know, helping somebody out who might need it, you know, but this dependency is what the government has created. Who's going to vote against that when you're getting all this money so you can go out and buy your lattes and your candy? Again, I know not everyone does this, but I've seen plenty of it. Is that freedom? Does that sound like freedom to you? Should we be just throwing money at people so they can go do whatever with their own misunderstanding of freedom? Or should we be helping people to develop a sense of responsibility for their own lives, for their own futures, and for their finances? Now, there, of course, there's things that happen. You lose a job. There's a financial emergency. All this stuff happens, absolutely. And it's good to have a temporary safety net for that, I understand. However, it's not true freedom to keep people on it. Now, a lot of ways food stamps work, especially, it's based on income levels. So the less money you make, the more food stamps you get. Now, it's sneaky the way it's designed because you might get a raise at work, maybe 20 cents an hour if you're an hourly worker, but just enough so that you might get 100 to 200 bucks more a paycheck or a month, whatever. But the way it's set up most of the time is that your food stamps will decrease so much that you won't be able to afford food. So it forces you to stay on it. Does that sound like freedom to you? Does that sound like it's helping people? There's a girl at my job, and she has a daughter, and she was really trying to make it. She was on food stamps, and she started working at my place, and her food stamps got cut off. She was only getting a couple hundred bucks a month, and so she was there. She called up and talked to the caseworker and said, you know, is there anything you can do to help me? Is there any little, just a little bit, any program? And the caseworker flat out told her, if you want more benefits, you either need to quit your job or reduce your hours. Does that sound like freedom to you? Because it sure doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds pretty terrible to me, actually. I mean, she was trying to work. She got herself a job, trying to support a daughter, and all of a sudden, her, you know, just making that little bit extra, it gets taken away from her. What do you think of that? 718-305-7176. We're talking about freedom and the way the government is now getting in the way of it. The way an uninformed population is bought off with its own money and kept in the doldrums with these programs. And you don't get a lot of food stamps. It's not like you can live high on it. You can't, I mean, the people that blow it all on subs and lattes run out real quick. And then what are you left with? Then you got to eat for the rest of the month. So that does not sound like freedom to me. It doesn't sound like, I don't know, anything I'd be interested in personally. So freedom is the responsibility. And freedom, it's not going to be popular because in America we have this sense of dependency in America now. We're fostering a sense of dependency. It's the what are you going to do to help me, government? It's the I'm just doing this and I don't want to try to better myself, so I'm going to get on a program. I'm going to try to find a way I can get money from the government. That's not freedom. And the fact that it's encouraged as that by the government, I'd say the government is creating slaves. The people are enchained now. Someone said that in the chat room. I absolutely agree. You know, it's this sense of what is the government going to do for me while I just sit here? Now, I know that's not everybody. I know there are lots of people that lost their jobs over the past few years and that, you know, they had no choice but to get on some temporary assistance. I'm not saying that that's terrible. Now, but what I am saying is when the government fosters this sense of dependency and it forces people to not want to better themselves, it is creating a form of slavery. And that's absolutely wrong, and it's something that needs to be fought with the true sense of freedom, with the idea of freedom as being given to us by God, and it is something that we need to not only defend, but we need to constantly reaffirm. I'm coming up on a break now, but when we come back, more on freedom, dependency, and hopefully your calls. The number is 718-305-7176. Right after this.
The culture of death is simply everywhere. Over 1 million abortions annually in America. immodesty is the new norm, and the legalization of so-called same-sex marriage is right around the corner. What can a faithful Catholic do? St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Mary, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where conservatism is done right.
And we're back. This is the Warrior Catholic Show, proud partner of Conservative Nation Radio. I am your host, Chris Ricketts, and we've got about 13 minutes left, so I want to hear about your opinion. I want to hear about what you have to think. And please call in 718-305-7176. Anyways, we're talking about freedom and why it's important and how the government has created this dependency on it. It's taking our own money and giving it to us in little bits and pieces and saying, oh, here you go. This is going to create a good life for you somehow. This is going to be something that's good. So, anyways, true freedom is a responsibility. And because of the way the government is doing this, it is not fostering a sense of responsibility. And people don't like to think about that anymore. So, what is the sense of freedom? It is a sense of responsibility. And encouraging people to take responsibility, it's not an easy thing, and it oftentimes leads to nasty comments, and it leads to all kinds of, trying to be charitable here. It leads to some awkward conversations. Now, this responsibility to ourselves and to this concept of freedom as being from God, we're all free because of our intrinsic nature given to us by God, that being made in His image. So anyway, we have true freedom in America can only be achieved, I think, by returning to the sense of the notion that has been given to us by our Redeemer. I've got a couple calls here. I'm going to go to Liberal 141. Hold on. Here we go. I'm having a little... Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello. Happy New Year, first of all.
Stu, how are you?
Very good, very good. My name is Stanley. I'm calling you all the way from New York. I'm listening to what you're saying, but if we're going to talk about freedom, even if we have a small government, we're not talking about the other part that is enslaving us also, which is big corporation also that enslaves people. You want to talk about freedom the way that our parents used to be, like, we used to be more entrepreneur, we used to be more creating business and things like that. We don't do that anymore. If you're going to talk about slaves, too much people are going to job, and that's the worst thing you could do in 2013. That's slavery, basically. That's working for somebody, and he or she has the power of money over you, and you're basically building a dream of he or she. So that's slavery already. If we without the government. So,
what do you think the government regulations now that are really choking the ability for small businesses to even come into existence now with all these regulations? They can't even afford to come up in the first place.
I think that the government should have focused on the regulation on the big business who are taking advantage of the law and not the small business who are starting something, if there was a possible way to change that. But I do believe that the government has to have a responsibility with big corporations, because big corporation will be greedy. Big corporation, which are CEOs and you know who they are, will do whatever they need to cut the middle class, to cut whatever they need, and to get more money in their pocket. That's the truth. That's the situation we're living. A lot of people don't want to work because they're saying, if I work 10 years in a company, big corporation, and I'm working hard, and every year I'm going to my boss and saying, you should pay me more. They won't. they won't. They'll pay you maybe a little bit more for inflation, and that's it. And then at one point in your life, you got to wake up and say, do I continue? I've done that. I worked 10 years in different corporations, and I was pissed off, and that's why I said no more. No more.
Thank you for a call. I'm running out of time, but I appreciate hearing from you. Thank you. We have one more caller here. Hello, you're on the Warrior Catholic Show.
Hey, how you doing? I just checked in here, and, you know, the last caller, his sentiments is kind of screwed. That's the liberal mentality. A lot of small business people are just in business for themselves. They pay their employees before they pay them. Government's intrusive, and the most greedy person in this world is all the government employees.
I can see that, definitely. Now, you know, do you have a small business of yourself, did you say?
Not anymore. I kind of dissolved them as my taxes and my fees kept going up. It wasn't prosperous to stay in business. I was working too much. You know, that's why this last caller has no idea what a small business person goes through, the hours they work just to keep their business intact as they pay everybody else but themselves. Other than that, I did want to say, I haven't listened to the whole show, but I see on there you were talking about Hobby Lobby. Listen, a lot of our problems is we've gotten away from God, and we have no morals, we have no understanding. Everybody's looking to their government to replace everything and to give them their whole welfare, everything they have. That's the problem. That's not what our country was built upon. It was built on freedom and God, morals and understanding. We've lost that. And God bless Hobby Lobby for standing up and saying, you know, we're not going to do this. If we do, if they mandate us, we might close. We need more people like that. We need more people standing by their morals.
I agree. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate hearing from you.
All right, thanks.
All right, glad to hear from a couple people. Again, if you even if you disagree, I still like to hear from you. You know, there's a whole other thing with corporations, as our liberal friend was talking about, and you know, I'll get into that maybe another time. I'm running low on time, but I'd like to, I guess, maybe start wrapping up here a little bit, just saying that, you know, this very last caller was absolutely right. You know, God is the source of freedom and of, you know, our country, so to speak, and the founders acknowledged that. Now, because of that, when we divorce God from all of these things, that's when we start running into the problems that we've had today, as was pointed out previously. You know, the lack of morals, the lack of, you know, or when the big government comes in to overtake those things and replace God. Because there's going to be, when you take out God, there's still going to be a vacuum in our lives. And when people get rid of God, they fill it up with big government. So there's some cool things coming up on Conservative Nation Radio. Check out tomorrow, Things Not Seen at 12 noon. That is CST. So, I'm sorry. I messed up on that one. It's not tomorrow. It's Friday. It is on Conservative Nation Radio. Friday is Things Not Seen with Chris Manti. He is an awesome guy. He has a lot to say. Talks about faith, politics, everything else. Is wonderful host at Conservative Nation Radio. So again, check that out. You can check out the Warrior Catholic Show Facebook page and click like. I just throw out different news stories and generally things that I find interesting. If you want to check out Conservative Nation Radio, that is www.conservativenationradio.org. which is a member of the Traditional American Movement, and that is thetraditionalamericanmovement.com. We're talking about taking our country back, folks. We're talking about fighting back the government that's not just encroaching anymore. It's taking huge, giant steps. It's running and leaping at this point. So stay tuned to everything that's going on here at Conservative Nation Radio. Again, I'm really honored to be a part of it. I just joined up recently. So I am Chris Ricketts. I am your host, and this is the Warrior Catholic Show. Coming up next week, I will be airing a pre-recorded interview I did with Catholic author Devin Rose, and he wrote the book If Protestantism Were True. And it is a great book that deals a lot about with the authority of the church and to teach the Bible. He talks all about the authority. He doesn't go verse for verse. He talks about who's got the authority to interpret and teach the Gospels. So he talks about all these things. It's a great interview. So that first hour is pre-recorded, and it is so I won't be able to take calls during that first hour. The chat will be on, and then in the second hour, we'll follow up live. So with that in mind, that is, again, at Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check it out. I'll be looking forward to hearing from you. And again, this is the Warrior Catholic Show, and I am Chris Ricketts signing off, and I'm glad to be here one more time. Thank you very much, and good night.